It's the second epistle of Timothy in chapter 2, verse 1. We'll read the chapter. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboureth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet abide faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subserving of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The Lord will bless the reading of his holy word. We'll just ask the Lord's help and guidance. Blessed God, our Father, we much cast on thee as we have came together to look into thy word. We thank thee for thy people here in this place. Thank thee for their desire to provide an occasion where the saints can come together and enjoy fellowship one with another, and to be encouraged from looking into thy word and desiring the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray that our little time together will be for thy glory, our God, our Father, that in these difficult days that we may be strengthened. We thank thee for this letter from the beloved apostle, to Timothy, and it has came right down to us at this time. Pray, Blessed Father, thy blessed Holy Spirit will shed light on the Scriptures and open our understandings, and that we may have ears to hear. And so we just commit this occasion to thee. Ask help. Thou knowest the weakness of the one who serves. We just pray that thou wilt furnish words to speak. Thus we ask these things as we give thanks in the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, we know that he was imprisoned. We know that the Emperor Nero had made it very difficult for him. And we know that also that from the first chapter that those from Asia had, many had, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me." Think of Ephesus and Thessalonica, two assemblies that Paul had ministered to. Indeed, it was through the preachings there that the assemblies were formed. They hadn't actually turned away from Christianity, but they were ashamed, really, of the beloved servant who had, through his faithfulness to Christ, had found himself imprisoned. And as being imprisoned, there was many that had given him up, but he could say that Luke alone is with me. What a comfort Luke would have been to the apostle. And there was Onesiphorus. He had refreshed the apostle. And we just trust tonight that we may be each one refreshed as we are encouraged as we read this letter from this beloved apostle to his son Timothy. How much Paul loved Timothy, and how that he'd encouraged him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy had been along the way with Paul, and he had understood very much the basis of Paul's ministry, the kingdom of God. And, dear brethren, it's really the kingdom principles I want to speak about tonight, because they run right through this letter. They're principles that they stand. And the moment we get away from principles, we get away from God. We get away from the truth. If we look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says there to them, "Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, he's reminding Timothy here to be strong in that same grace, the grace that had met Paul, the grace that had converted Paul when he is on the road to Damascus. And Timothy knew something of the need of grace. And dear brethren, in these days, we all must come to depend on the grace of our Saviour God, that we might have grace in the local assembly. We may be gracious one to another. Without grace, we're very hard. You think of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. They marvelled at the words of grace that came out of his mouth. And here Timothy is being encouraged to be strong in that grace. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." I think Paul here, he really feels the falling away of those whom he had enjoyed so much fellowship with. I think he would have felt it like the Lord Jesus in John 6, when many said, "The word is hard, who can hear it?" What was the Lord's answer? "Will ye also go away?" There was a falling away. The love of the many were growing cold. And as in this day, we can see it, dear brethren. Let us be honest about it. And let us encourage one another in these days, as we see these things happening, let us draw our seats closer to one another. Let us come closer to one another in Christ, and to love one another more fervently. He says, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He's not giving persons full authority. He's not putting authority in the church, but he's putting authority among faithful men. Now that's something to really to consider. And that the truth that has been revealed through revelation to the apostle might be upheld in love and in truth. And so, as we enjoy these little gatherings together, it really means something to us. He then goes on to speak, being able to teach others also, being able to communicate the word one to another. Now, Paul knew Timothy very well, because it was Timothy who he sent to Corinth, remember? If we just look back and look at the... There's two references I want to make here. One is in chapter 4 of Corinthians, verse 17. Paul says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord. Now that's how Paul introduced Timothy to the saints of Corinth. And he says, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. And then in Philippians, he speaks again of Timothy, of having no one like-minded. He could really trust Timothy. When the disciples, you remember in Acts 20, with that company, Timothy was with them. The many witnesses, think of those who were with Paul on his journeys. There was Silas. What a witness Silas would have been. And so as Paul sees the falling away, his beloved church, he's encouraging Timothy to stand fast. And then he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, have we got any soldiers here? Soldiers of Jesus Christ. Not just onward Christian soldiers, but soldiers, men who have been trained. They've done the tough task. Timothy had been. He'd come up against some pretty tough characters down in Corinth. Paul addressed them in all their dignity as the Church of God at Corinth, but a little later on he had to tell them some pretty much home truths as to where they stood. And Timothy was the one who had to deliver that address, that letter, and to help the saints in love to take it on, to take the truth on. And dear brethren, we want to refresh one another tonight and encourage one another in the truth to go on in Christ and in the glad tidings. And so he says, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. When you're in the army, you're there to serve your country. You're there taking allegiance to the king. A good soldier of Jesus Christ is there to take allegiance and to him alone, and to fight fairly, and to uphold the portion of land that he's given to protect. So that no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of life. Dear brethren, we have to go through this scene. We have to make a living. But then, on the other hand, we don't entangle ourselves in such a way that our service, our witness to Christ, diminishes what we are as a Christian. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. We see in the world around us athletes striving for mastery. But what do? To help themselves to gain a place. They'll revert to taking drugs and so forth. But if they get caught, they're disqualified. Dear brethren, we have to uphold things rightly and in love and in grace. Great features of the kingdom, they come out in Paul. He was a kingdom man. You only just have to look at the Romans. Well, I better hurry along a little bit, unless I'm not going to get too far in this chapter. And so he speaks about a husbandman that laboureth must first partake of the fruits. So that he's looking that something that's planted is to grow. And that's the word of God. If it's planted in our hearts, the good seed, it's to grow. And it's to flourish. But in difficult days, we need to be reminded completely of the expenditure of God's great love to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And then he has a remarkable statement here. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now remember, this is a wonderful statement, because a little lower down we find that some had said that the resurrection of the saints had already taken place. But here he's speaking about Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David. Now that's very interesting. If you look back in Jeremiah and chapter 33 and verse 20, Jeremiah 33 and verse 20, thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites and priests and ministers. You see, the surety that what God has set out to do, he's going to do it. Who could break the covenant that God has made between day and night? Impossible. Because if you go right back to Genesis chapter 1, you find they're the very first things that God did in creation, day and night. And he named it, and he put light there. What a wonderful thing God has done through his Son. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember of that seed. Remember the dignity that God is now bringing in. Oh, dear brethren, uphold divine principles. Hold dignity. Do not drop down to the level of the world around us. Not in walk or in thought or in dress. Let us hold fast to the dignity that Paul is speaking to Timothy here. Our God is a consuming fire. He's a living God. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a God of love and grace. He's a God that is not willing that any should perish. And so he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Well, at the end of Romans, Paul speaks about the gospel that was given to him. What a faithful servant the beloved apostle was. And through the death of Christ, the gospel was to go out not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile alike. There was something new God was doing. And no one could break what God's covenant, what he was going to do. A covenant for the young, I'll just refer to it, it's like it's a caveat. If you are building a house in a subdivision, and on those blocks of land there's a caveat, you can only build it according to those regulations. If the caveat says that you must have 9-foot ceilings in the house, that's what you must build. And you cannot break it, because it is a legal law. and dear brethren, the covenant that God has made in the death of Christ, it is legal, and through it he can bless. And he's going to reach out and not only bless you, but Gentiles also. And Paul says, by my glad tidings. Think of what a mission, a commission, is the word, I think, a commission was given to Paul to fulfill the thoughts of God, that you and I might come into blessing. And so he says, directly after this, he says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. See, the gospel just doesn't leave us, just doesn't relieve us of our sins, but it gives us a living hope. The eternal glory is before us. And so what he's doing is he's strengthening the individual through the gospel and through the death of Christ. He's not writing to an assembly here, he's writing to individuals, and he wants the individual to receive this word. Think of Paul, he's giving it to Timothy. Timothy had been with Paul, he knew Paul's manner of life, he knew all about him, he knew his doctrine. And Paul is not only just thinking of Timothy, but he's thinking of you and me today. Think of God looking right down through the chain of time, looking down to tonight, that we might be guided by the Holy Spirit into the truth. Now he says, it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. That's another very, I found, very interesting verse. A little like the children of Israel, if I can use this as an illustration, at the Red Sea. And you remember, I won't go into the detail, but when Moses put out his hand and God caused a wind to blow and the waters parted and they stood up as a wall, and the children of Israel went through the waters and they were a wall either side. And what we see there is a type of the death of Christ for us. And they walked through. It would have been a real experience if we really ever had that experience of walking. Think of walking through the waters that were parted on dry ground. Christ's death for us. We often speak about what's done at Calvary, the great work that was done there. But what about the experience of entering into it? And I believe that's a beautiful little picture, that if we walk through with the knowledge that the waters are either side as protection, but for the enemy, they're about to be consumed. And they arrive on the other side and they sing. Says, it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Cut off from the world, living with Christ through his death, separated from the world. Can I use that word? Because every Lord's Day morning we remember our Lord Jesus Christ. We remember that he died at Calvary for our sins. He was separated. Think of him crying on that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Think of the depth, the woe that Jesus went through. And he says, it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Dear brethren, to find our life, we have to accept death here. Dead, because naturally we're dead in our trespasses and sins. But when we come to Christ and we find that not only have our sins been dealt with, but the man that sinned has been dealt with, because Christ went into the grave. If you just look at 1 Corinthians 15, the first few verses will show you that very, very clearly. So, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Well, I'm just going to have to go very quick now, but he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. And then he says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words of no profit to the subservienting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Our dear brethren, the blessed Holy Spirit helps us so as that we need not be ashamed. Paul was not ashamed. Think of that blessed apostle. He knew what it was to suffer. Remember at his conversion, the Lord said to Ananias, I'll show him how much he must suffer for my name. Think of the sufferings of Paul. They're on a kin, very nearly to the Lord Jesus. He knew what it was, the beloved apostle, to suffer. How little we know the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe if we did, we'd be much more committed to his will and committed to the building up of one another in love. Because thou, he comes on, to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but to shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Dear brethren, let us uphold every principle. Let us keep the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. We need to be, as we're more dedicated to what is of Christ, let us be brought to him with a heart that has been wrought upon by love. And then he goes on to speak about the foundation of God's stand is sure, having this seal. You know, the truth is not hard. The unction, the anointing of the Holy One. Paul talks to us about it in 2 Corinthians. He who has anointed you is God. Now to really get the spirit of what Paul is saying here, we need to know and to have the unction of the Holy One. And I believe the unction means a softness, that the truth is plied in love. And so whether it's to the elders, we need to go back and just look over the things that Paul told Timothy in the first epistle, because he doesn't go over them again in the second. He makes statements referring back to what he has established, or whether we take and we give someone a glass of cold water, as the Lord said. We do it in a dignified way. Our service is to be done in a dignified way. The soldier, he spends much time on his dress. If you turned up on the parade ground with brass not polished, shoes not shining, uniform all creased up, tie half slung round your neck, you would get reprimanded. You'd be called out. You'd be sent off to before the commanding officer, and you'd more than likely get CB, confined to barracks, for your disorderly conduct. Dear brethren, don't let us slide down. Let us be firm in the truth, in our committal to Christ. How that the beloved apostle, he knew what it was to look around and to see those, as John would say, walking in the truth. And so we get here the thought, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. There is a pathway, and it's an individual pathway. And we are, as individuals, responsible to answer to this word. So the word is, the Lord knoweth them that are his. It's just like in John 10, he knoweth his sheep, and they follow him. None can seize them out of my hand. None can seize out of the hand of my Father. Think of the security of those who have followed Christ, have heard his voice. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See, if we are following the Lord, hearing his words, he leadeth us away from iniquity, from the world. What a blessed Saviour he is. What salvation is ours in Christ, dear brethren. And so he goes on to speak about it. If a man, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. It's not the church here, the apostle, he's now referring to it as a great house. And it's what is found in that great house. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and so on. And then he goes on to say, and there's some to honour and some to dishonour. We can see it all around us. The apostle is alluding to the whole of Christendom as a great house and what is in the great house. And in that great house, we are as well, dear brethren. And the only way out of that great house, or to be for the Lord, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Think of the whole here. It all depends on what Christ has done for each one of us. How much do we appreciate that blessed one? And the apostle here, he set it out in love. The same love in the early chapter verses of chapter 2 is the same love and grace that is applied here in this section at the end of this chapter. So that we are sanctified and meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. Well, that's a great exercise, and that we all need to be exercised about being available for the Master's use. And as a way to be able to serve and please him. And so we don't become entangled with the affairs of this life. And then he goes on to say, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, first principle of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness. Hey, the kingdom principles, dear brethren, apply right through this section of Scripture, and indeed in the whole of this book. And then he says, follow righteousness, faith, charity or love, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Well, unless our heart is pure, we need a heart for this. A heart that is not hardened. A heart of love. A heart that it can be written on. A heart that is pure. The motive is pure, because we've been called to this way, and it's a living way, it's a holy way. But then he says, foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Certain things don't get into questions or arguments over things. They gender strife. And then he says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and be patient. Well, that's a test for us all, isn't it? I guess that it doesn't take long for the Lord to test us out on that one. So we need to be careful. He must not strive. We don't have to strive for the truth. The truth that is in Jesus is beautiful. It's attractive. And then, be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience. Gentle unto all men. Well, I'll let Tom drive home tonight, just in case someone cuts me off or something, you know. You get tested very, very quick to be gentle unto all men. Well, that's a beautiful application for the gospel, the kindness of our Saviour God. It's another feature of the kingdom. Remember with King David in 2 Samuel chapter 8 or 9, I think, he said, "Is there any of the house of Saul that I can show kindness to?" Now, Saul had been David's enemy. He tried to put David to death. But David, when God took him from the sheepfolds and set him among his people as a ruler, and he was king, he looked back, he said, "Is there any of the house of Saul that I can show kindness to?" Our dear brethren, let us, as coming under the grace of God and the mercy of God, and being instructed of God in the way of righteousness, as individuals, we walk together, we walk in love, and in doing so, I believe the Lord lets us enjoy something of fellowship, of assembly fellowship, and joy together. What a pity it is to see so many brethren and believers around who cannot show the kindness of God to one another. How the Lord Jesus would feel it. Do we weep over it? Think of those tears of the beloved apostle. I've gone over time. So it says in meekness. Hey, here comes the word meekness. Think of the Lord Jesus in meekness. When he said the birds of the heavens, they had nesting places, the foxes holes, but the Son of Man, nowhere to lay his head. Think of the meekness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never had a home here. But yeah, he got one. Straight after that, we find he had a home with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. I think if you look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 9 and 10, one, you'll find he didn't have a home. The next, you'll find he did have a home. What a home he had at Bethany. Oh, let this little assembly and the assembly's brethren come from provide a home for Christ. Those who are exercised about walking separately and keeping divine principles. And so it says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Well, we think of those who oppose. We just pray that God will grant them repentance. Let this feature be in each heart. Let it be a real milestone that we can walk together in love and in life and in dignity, dear brethren. The gatherings of the saints are to be dignified. Well, may what has been presented in weakness be of some encouragement and for the glory of God for his name's sake. Amen. Now, God our Father, we just thank thee for this little time together. We thank thee that our time has been speaking about thy glorious Son, the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. What a blessed man. What a blessed Saviour. What a blessed head. Head of the church, his body. Soon he's coming for his people. We feel it. Help us to come closer together. Help us to draw closer together in love. Help us to uphold every divine principle so that thou mightest say, "Lord Jesus, thou well done, thou faithful bondman." Thus we ask these things. Think of the provision of food for our sustainment we're about to partake of. We give thanks for it. And we ask thy blessing, our God, our Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.